Hey.
Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. And then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I'm sure someone has volunteered to read the 12 steps. Oh, maybe not.
It's okay. I can do it. I have the book right here.
Okay.
These are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested at a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Kirsten, for stepping up. And today we will hear a talk on steps 6 and 7. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, from Paul M. from Nashville, Tennessee. So take it away, Paul.
All right. Thank you so much, Sonny. And thank you guys for having me. My name is Paul. I'm an alcoholic. I hail from Nashville, Tennessee. My sponsor is Bob O. My home group is Living by the Print on Saturday mornings. And my sobriety date is September 17th, 2004. And I'm blessed to be here with you guys today because, you know, if we're all about justice rather than mercy, I would have been dead a long time ago. thank you so much, Sherry, for asking me to do this. It's always an honor to be of service, and it always helps me get out of myself and think about some things that maybe I've been sort of neglecting or not really thinking about as much. That said, I have got plenty of step 6 and 7 material here because I would say there's two different literature meetings I go to, and they both have been going over step 6 and 7 right around the same time. And so it was always good to be reminded that, you know, apparently somebody's trying to tell me something. if I'm getting a lot of input on step 6 and 7 without me really, you know, pushing forward on it. So I imagine my experience with the steps is pretty similar to what a lot of people have been through. I had a sponsor. He led me through the steps. And after we had done the fifth step together, he gave me these instructions, which, you know, he just read straight out of the big book. And that's what I'll do here. I won't be reading the whole time. Okay, I'm going to try not to put anybody to sleep. But this is on page 75 at the bottom. It says, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. Carefully reviewing what we have done, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. My sponsor told me to just go home, you know, go home and put this book right here on the shelf for an hour and just think about all the things that I did with the steps so far. In particular, if I left anything out of the 4th step and the 5th step. So I did that. I will say I left something important out, which, you know, that's a dangerous kind of place to be in to try to hold back a secret. This is my experience, whenever I'm holding back something in the 5th step, and, you know, of course, I didn't write it down either in my 4th step, it usually means I've got some kind of hang up on it. Whether it's shame, you know, just pride, you know, I don't want to let somebody see the entire thing. But in any event, after going through the steps a few more times, I did get that one out, which, you know, and I felt this sense of freedom at last. So if there are any new people on there, please don't skimp on it, you know, like I did. You know, if there's anything that you're holding back in your 5th step, it has to come out somehow. This is just what I've experienced myself. This is what I've seen with other people. But in any event, so we have step 6. That's pretty much it in the big book. But I'm so glad that we have the 12 and 12. Some people, even in Nashville, don't like the 12 and 12. you know, for me, it gives a good a good deeper understanding of what in particular like this step and step seven are all about. So I can tell you that like it's really bad being drunk and being miserable, right? I think if you're in this room, you've probably experienced your own level of personal hell. That's what my old sponsor used to say. And I went through this period, I would say from about 2016 to 2018, where I was definitely a dry drunk. I was not drinking or anything else like that. But I was definitely into my character defects. What I experienced was before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, my character defects were just what I used to get things done. I ran on self-will, definitely. It was all about pride. It was all about anger. And everything that I thought that I did was justified. Because it was all everybody else's fault. But there's this period from 2016 to 2018 where I was not going to many meetings. And even if I did, I would show up late, leave early, not really talk to anybody. Didn't have a sponsor, not one that I was using anyway. And was not really praying at all, I'd say. The only thing I had going for me, and this talks about this in our literature, is just having a sense of complete powerlessness over alcohol. So I knew I couldn't drink again, that was just not going to work out. I was married at the time. I was cheating on my wife a whole lot. This is, having three kids. And I felt completely justified in doing this. And this was all about self. And when I was going through divorce, you can imagine, how that came about. My old sponsor, he was such a great guy. Sherry knows him, Steve A., or Ice Cream Steve, as he's known in Nashville. He's passed on. But he saw me come back into AA. My divorce lawyer recommended that I start going back to meetings, just to make it look good. And I saw my old sponsor there, Steve, and he looked at me and he says, so... He, first of all, he acted like he was having a heart attack because he hadn't seen me in 2 years, And then he says, so have you been drinking? And I said, no. And he said, so you've been crazy, though, right? And I said, yeah. that's a real bad spot to be in sobriety. So one of the things he did was he instructed me to read step six in the 12 of 12 every day. At first, his big thing was we need to get you back into basics, he wanted me to just do this one simple prayer all the time, as many times as I could, every single day. And that was, God is with me. God is with me. Very much like a mantra, just to try to flush all this ego, this self-justification out. But he had me read the step six and the 12 of 12 every day. And there's so much good stuff in here. This is something that I think applies to me. Hopefully you think it applies to you. And if not, you can just leave it right here in the meeting. But this is what it says. This is on page 63. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. So declares a well-loved clergyman who happens to be one of AA's greatest friends. He goes on to explain that any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step six on all his faults without any reservations whatever has indeed come a long way spiritually and is therefore entitled to be called a man who is sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his own creator. And there's another good spot here. This speaks to me as a, recovering Catholic. It says, since most of us are born with an abundance of natural desires It isn't strange that we often let these far exceed their intended purpose. When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfactions or pleasures than are possible or due us, that is the point at which we depart from the perfection that God wishes for us here on earth. That is the measure of our character defects, or if you wish, of our sins. So, you know, I'd heard a lot about sins before, and it's one of those words that just bristles me the wrong way sometimes, you know. But there was this, he was my high school theology teacher. He was also the sex ed teacher, too. This is Catholic school for you. But he was also the varsity basketball coach. He was a big guy, like 6'6", you know, at least 300 pounds. And he said that basically sin is what puts distance between me and God. That's all it is. It's not necessarily like something to feel an intense guilt or shame about. It's just an imperfection. And that's what I always try to think about it as. And let me see if I can skip ahead here. So there was this note here, because I know I don't want to be perfectionist, and that's not, and it says here in the 12 of 12, no, we're not trying to be perfect here. We're just trying to aim toward it. The only thing we could do perfectly in AA is stay sober. That's it. That's that step one. Even then, it's just the first half of step one, you know, being powerless over alcohol, because, man, I tell you, I slip into self-management. Oh, I don't know, probably about 50, 60 times a day. You know, I'm like, hold on, what am I doing here? I'm trying to run things myself again. But my old sponsor, Steve A., wrote this note for me. We're talking about relationships, because I got some issues with that, right? He says, how much room do you want to give God into all areas of your life? That's another way of thinking about being ready. It's just, how much room do I want to give God? So that, I'll move on to step seven. And I heard this just recently. This is an interesting way of thinking about it. So this guy was telling me that, you know, step six and seven are really mixed in the big book. This is what he said. So anyway, I'll read the prayer, or just the first part of it. It says on page 76, when ready, we say something like this: my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. And he said, well, that's basically step six right there, is more or less telling people, or telling God, excuse me, that I'm ready. Okay. And then here we get into the rest of it. And if you don't buy into this, trust me, this is the first time I'd heard it. It was just interesting for me to think about. But it says, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven. So when I went through the steps, definitely the first time, that was basically it. It was like, okay, are you ready? And I was like, sure, let's go on, you know? And then I did the prayer, just like it's written right here. And it's like, okay, we're going on to our eight step list. I guess going through what I went through with, you know, being a dry drunk, you know, for a few years, and having some serious problems with marriage and relationships, I was really caught up on this one particular woman, and you know, my sponsor was really trying to guide me through it, and he more or less said, you've got the wrong higher power, you know. You're looking to her instead of looking to God. And you know, this is something I just kind of came up with. I'm sure I've heard it from you guys before, but I day after day, after the divorce, and, you know, just thinking about this woman all the time, just obsessively almost, I just got on my knees, every single day, and was just heartbroken and saying, God help me, you know. And that's almost like a real, well, abstract version of the seven step prayer. It's please God help me. I know I've got all this junk, you know, and my shortcomings, things that I need you to help me with. And of course with the 12 and 12 goes into much greater detail with the step seven principles, and it's all about humility in there, right? It's like the whole thing is about humility in the 12 and 12. I heard the speaker, who's, you know, pretty well known. He's passed on, Sandy B. And he did a real good talk about step seven. And he said, well, what's the difference between humbly asking? Because that's what it says. We humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. What's the difference between humbly asking and just regular asking? And he's like, so does that mean like if you're humble, you try to look humble? You like you fold your hands and you just try to look really serious? And he said, no, it doesn't have anything to do with how you look. It's about understanding what you're getting into. I mean, a lot of ways, this is the way I think about it, is step seven is sort of a deeper surrender than step three. Although step three is like, you know, hey, take it all. And then now, after having doing an inventory and doing a fifth step, sharing this with another person, now I get to see this is really what I'm handing over. The 12 and 12 says that humility is the foundation of all the 12 steps. So, you know, guess what? If you're in this room, most likely, you're demonstrating some degree of humility by just recognizing that, hey, maybe these people have something that I need. I always like to think of the definition of humility, just because it was not a word I was really very well acquainted with. To me, it sounded like, what this is the way I thought about it before, was just somebody groveling, like kneeling or being, you know, prostrate on the ground, just sort of like, you know, you see a king and then you see his knights or his servants, you know, they just bow down their head and kneel. So this is what it says about humility, at least in step seven. I think in step five, it talks about it a little bit too. This is on page 72 in the 12 and 12. It says, in the middle of the page here, about it says, as long as we placed self-reliance first, which that's my natural tendency. That's kind of like my default position. A genuine reliance upon a higher power was out of the question. That basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will, was missing. So at least part of a humility is a desire to seek and do the will of a higher power or God. So it's not about looks. I remember my first sponsor, he was real big on kneeling, you know, and that's good too. And he said that, and this is what they did back in the old days of AA when it first started, is it was, you got on your knees to make the surrender as a gesture of humility. But as it turns out, the big thing here is just to have a desire to seek and do God's will. Later on here in step seven, it says, oh yeah, well, it talks about pain a whole lot, because I love talking about pain. I mean, I can get into it. I can talk about how much I've suffered, you know, and we've all suffered, you know, like I said, we've all been through our own personal hell. But this is what it says here on page 74. Until now, our lives have been largely devoted to running from pain and problems. We fled from them as from a plague. We never wanted to deal with the fact of suffering. Escape via the bottle was always our solution. Character building through suffering might be all right for saints, but it certainly didn't appeal to us. So this kind of explains at least what I was doing both drunk and sober, was trying to avoid problems, avoid the pain of going through things. This is my story, but I was so depressed, and I thought the best way of going through this was to get drunk all the time. And as it turns out, at least from a medical perspective, that's like, that's one of the worst things you could do. but that's what I did. And in sobriety, I went straight back into my character defects, searching for something else to make me feel okay, other than, you know, God or the steps or you know, participating in AA. I was down for anything that was just unhealthy. So it says here on the next page on 75, in every case, pain had been the price of admission into a new life, but this admission price had purchased more than we expected. It brought a measure of humility, which we soon discovered to be a healer of pain. We began to fear pain less and desire humility more than ever. So, there's this, this movie, The Princess Bride, and I think Wesley, he's like wearing all black and he has this mask on and he's talking to the princess. She doesn't know who he is. And she says something to him about him mocking her pain. And he says, life is pain. Anyone who says differently is selling something. And so, I mean, whatever we're going through in life, everybody's got their own stuff going on. This is something I try to remember when I get frustrated at complete strangers out on the road or wherever, is they may be going through something. You know, they may have lost a family member. They may have lost their job. You know, everybody's going through stuff. That's just the nature of life. We have stuff going on. That's not, well, it's uncomfortable, right? But rather than run from that kind of pain, as kind of like I tend to do, this says that I can ask for help. I can ask you guys for help. I can ask God for help. I can say, you know, call my sponsor up and say, hey man, this, I know you think I'm doing great and everything, but here's, and I don't feel like I should be going through this at 18 years sobriety, but here's what I'm going through, and try to get some help, you know. With that, I will leave it to you guys. I appreciate you guys listening. I hope I haven't put you to sleep. Yeah, this is something I always try to remember, is that whatever I'm going through, humility is the healer of pain. Okay, so it can make it all better, you know. Well, you know, maybe 90% better. but yeah, I don't have to magnify the pain of what I'm going through in life anymore. So with that, I'm going to go give a pint of blood over at the Red Cross here, you know, and, you know, that's going to hurt. But I'm glad to be of service to you guys. And, believe me, without, you know, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and you guys introducing me or reintroducing me, to higher power, you know, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you so much.